Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So I have a special guest on with me, Jay Lindell, who is the Aerospace and Defense Champion for the Office of Economic Development and International Trade for the state of Colorado. Welcome today, Jay.
Chris, glad to be here, and thanks for the invite. I always love to talk about Colorado and our economy and where we're going.
Yeah, and tell you what, you're a wealth of information on that. I was sitting here listening to you talk before the show started and just all the different companies and things going on in Colorado and what each local area is doing in the aerospace industry. It kind of makes my head spin.
Yeah, I mean, our economy is doing very well. We're growing economically. We have some of the lowest unemployment rates since we've had in Colorado for 15 years. We have our population is growing. A lot of that population is growing to talented people coming to find jobs here in Colorado. So overall, we are a growing state, growing economically, growing in population. And that means we're growing in tax revenues.
And that's the part that makes everything work, right?
That's right.
Okay. So if you're working with the states and the different areas for economic development, are you an economist? What's your background?
No. I'm long-term. I had a long Air Force career. My background really is Air Force and specifically aerospace, if you will. I retired out of the Pentagon, but I had a big dollar portfolio in global power, which was fighters, bombers, weapons, combat support. And I really was an advocate for Air Force requirements to Congress and why we needed these weapon systems, if you will. So we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars into the billions. But when I retired, I picked up a consulting effort with defense industry. And I was an aerospace and defense industry consultant. And when I saw the champion job offered with the state of Colorado, I looked at it, and the title offered was Aerospace and Defense Industry Champion. I said, well, I'm an aerospace and defense industry consultant. Well, maybe this is a bit of a promotion. So one thing led to another, so I've been in the job now, promoting aerospace defense industry in Colorado for 2.5 years, and I have a lot of fun doing it. It's a great job and something different every day.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
I have a lot of fun doing it. It's a great job and something different every day.
I can tell you have fun doing it. And I was at a conference with a Space Roundup a couple months ago, and I know you were given an award for the most influential person in the aerospace industry for 2015, was it?
Right. it was the first time award. It was called the Cosmic Contributor Award. So I was really honored to receive the award. And it really is just an overall statewide effort as a catalyst for promoting aerospace business in Colorado.
Okay. So we are talking about cyber a lot here now in Colorado. And I know I got introduced to you through some businesses here and economic development projects that we're working on. And so you had been, at least at one point, the early stages, deeply involved with what's going on with the cyber industry, trying to do so for the economic development and bringing that up to par with the space industry and what you've done there, you know, what's going on there. So what have you been involved with from the beginning kind of concepts of this NCIC issue or effort here in Colorado Springs?
Well, yeah, Chris. Well, first of all, cyber and cyberspace, cybersecurity lends itself to the aerospace environment because space is all about information. It's all about information sensing, information transfer, and all that data needs to get to the right person at the right time and secure. Data, meaning it's not going to the wrong people or it's not compromised, especially on defense-related information systems.
Sounds like we need trusted data.
Trusted data. And so it's a natural part, when we say cyber, to be a part of this aerospace environment, aerospace economy, especially right here in Colorado Springs, where we have such a heavy defense presence, a heavy space-based defense presence, and networks and systems that need to be secured. And to be a contractor, especially when most of the systems engineering technical analysis are contracts to small business, they need to be secured on the net. They need to have secure networks to be able to contract with the federal government, to be able to contract with Air Force Space Command. And so that is a thriving business already here in Colorado Springs with over 80 cybersecurity companies. And naturally here in Colorado Springs, where you have a heavy defense community, a lot of cyber talent development, it lends itself because of that byproduct of talent that's here to build a cybersecurity based business environment.
So that kind of leads me to, we talk a lot about defense here, and that we're big in defense, 80-plus companies. What is your definition of cybersecurity? What would you say that encompasses?
Well, cybersecurity is all about, as I look at it, is it's information to the right person, to the right time, at the right time that's uncompromised. In other words, no one else is reading it, no one else is causing that data to be changed. Mm-hmm. So it's getting there fully secured, fully with data integrity, if you will. But it's also just getting to the person that's eyes only on the data, to that person. So there's a lot of, it's not just, you know, cyber sometimes gets equated with information technology and just building connectivity. No, It's not. It's all about that connectivity and the data that flows through it, that information. Is it information that's secure, getting to the right person, and no one else has access to it, no one else is reading it? It's only getting to that person or that thing or that receive point.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm a big proponent. My background is critical infrastructure. And literally, whenever I got into what I call information security, data security, was later in my career. And I started looking at, why is everybody focused on data security? Because in critical infrastructure, you care more about the hardware aspect of it and the trust that we kind of mentioned earlier. Because really the word you're looking for with, do I trust that data, has to come from a trusted network, from a trusted device, which has to have trusted components on it. So all that is sometimes a different way of looking at it than the military has, where they own all the equipment in their fences, they put up a wall, and then the only thing they have to think about is monitoring the data coming in and out of their trusted, physical, secure environment with guys with guns standing around the walls. So a lot of times cybersecurity for military has quite a different approach than cybersecurity in design, critical infrastructure, and literally, I would say, the bigger portion of the world of computing, because for every one processor made that supports a PC that we can, a human interacts with, there's like 100 made that are small that run on little, we call them unintelligent devices, or now Internet of Things, or sensors, we're talking about in aerospace all over the place. So you have to think that definition is what I was reaching for, and I think I heard a good thing that's, you know, it's not just military information security focus that we're looking at here.
Right.
Okay. So as far as now bringing this in, we've had some other efforts in Colorado that have spurred economic development. How are we going to use what we know, what's worked in the past, or the tools we have at hand to make cybersecurity a blue ocean strategy or a industry that is that you know, everybody's coming here for the center of this industry? How are we going to do that?
Well, you know, economic development's about developing the whole ecosystem that'll nurture business, that'll provide the technology, that provide the dollars, that provide the human capital, the talent needed to grow business. So it's all about an ecosystem, is the way we approach it in economic development. So if you've got business at the core, business employs people, creates jobs, and the tax revenues, et cetera. But it takes aligned political will, meaning municipal, state, and federal government, to be aligned on the same page. If there's funding available, the government can be a kickstart source of funding for business. And at the state level, economic development, we do have advanced industry accelerator grants available, mm-hmm. generally focused on small business and to help small business develop with a capital now that has to be matched in our grants, meaning for what the state provides for funding, then it has to be at least an equal to up to two times the level of dollars to match against state funding. So there's skin in the game from the business side, if you will. But that state money can be so important to help a business get off the ground, to initially invest, to grow their business. And if government can help be a catalyst, that's the right role for government. The other is making sure that the government is attuned to business needs. If there's legislation or policy that are barriers to promote business development, those barriers need to be adjusted or eliminated sometimes exceptions for businesses. So those things need to be considered, and especially in aerospace industry where we're so heavily government funded at the federal level, mm-hmm. There's a big role to play there. And that a major role is with the defense and aerospace and space, NASA plays a big part with funding in our economy to make sure that our legislatures know and understand how important it is to our economy and how important those dollars are, and how important those defense dollars, scientific dollars, National Science Foundation, for example, NASA, NOAA, all these other agencies that do fund education development, research and technology development in Colorado, and procure systems, that those are good-paying jobs, and they mean a lot to our economy. The other factor about Colorado is, you know, real economic growth is really the result of research, development, innovation, new technologies. And that's where your best paying jobs, businesses that create other businesses, that create subcontractors, that create suppliers. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we have the right investment into our advanced industry sectors, and that's where we focus on the state level, is those higher tech, innovative type businesses that really create a lot of technology bleed over to create and grow this ecosystem of business development in Colorado.
So how much money does it take to make an industry to grow like that? How much seed money do you
foresee? Well, here's what the state just approved to help with the National Cyber Intelligence Initiative.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, BOCOR has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, BOCOR is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you, and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BOCOR team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BOCOR.com, B-O-E-C-O-R-E.com. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So how much money does it take to make an industry to grow like that? How much seed money do you
foresee? Here's what the state just approved to help with the National Cyber Intelligence Initiative, which is about economic development, business development, and the cyber security industry here in Colorado Springs. But the state approved an $8 million budget, or $8 million of funding. Most of that is dedicated towards refurbishment and modernization of the old TRW building, which will be this facility, site location for the Cyber Intelligence Center. Mm-hmm. So that's a good start, you know, kickstart when you got an infusion from the state of $8 million. Now, the small business grants that we have that need to be matched from my office and economic development are lower cost dollar amounts. We have $150,000 grants for proof of concept technology development. We have $250,000 grants for second stage development, and we have up to $500,000 grants for infrastructure. Normally looked at workforce development, capital needed to generate and train, educate a workforce that a business needs to get off the ground. So lower dollar amounts, but for small business, that, you know, a $250,000 grant means a lot to help them get off the ground.
So some people would say $8 million in the refurbishing a building doesn't get us very far towards cybersecurity implementations.
Well, it's a start.
I mean, would that money be best spent on cyber initiatives instead of a real estate venture?
Well, it's up for the board that's put together for this whole initiative will decide on this funding available, on where's the best investment, what are the critical pieces to invest, where do we put the money to help get this cyber intelligence center off the ground. But long term, it's not the government that's got to sustain it. Long term, this has got to be private business. Mm-hmm. Private business who invest in the center, who sees an economic return out of their investment into the center, whether it be workforce or other business or so forth, their ability to collaborate, generate collaboration, to develop or generate partnerships. Maybe they see the advantage of the research and development and technology that comes out of a center like this to help their business. So long term, this does have to be private business to sustain it.
Mm-hmm. So the initial, though, I mean, it seems like so much more might have been possible to spur those 10, 20 seed businesses around the NCIC and have the money come into the building and facility later.
Well, there might be, for the remodernization or the refurbishment of this facility. The facility is already state-owned, so it's state property, actually, through the University of Colorado, a Colorado Springs state institution. Mm-hmm. So we're really, and what we could get passed through the legislature was this money appropriated to refurbish a state facility that would become the foundation, the base, and site location.
Okay. So how much of this is a state facility? How much of this effort are we looking at is under the state facility and part of UCCS, or are we looking to have 100 companies around it?
It'll be a public-private partnership. So welcome to investment. Welcome to all these 100 companies. Be better if there were 200 companies to eventually invest and be a part of it. But it's got to be, I think, the funding that can be a catalyst at least to what we see here in this economy, especially here in Colorado Springs, is all the potential. It's ripe. You see some coals that are right here that are just hot for development. You see a talent base. Mm-hmm. You see the other businesses that are already here. What is it the state can do to, if you will, put some fuel on the hot coals and generate this catalyst of economic development that has so much potential right here in Colorado Springs?
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, you have seen a lot of the aerospace industry and how that has developed here to where Colorado is this center for aerospace. And we're taking a little bit of those lessons learned. What are we using that we've already learned from this effort to pull into?
For one thing, it's a long-term development. It's not going to happen overnight. This is a long-term effort. And if the state can provide some initial funding, facility or otherwise, this isn't just a 2 or 3 year effort. This is a decade of development to grow this thriving dynamic ecosystem. And aerospace didn't happen overnight in Colorado. This was post-World War II development into research and development institutions. This was the presence of the University of Colorado in Boulder. This is the Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics, where a lot of initial research was done. And this was business seeing the advantage of talent, the advantage of a academic institution, research and development institution that could help develop their technology needed. And that's how this business cluster really grew over many decades here in Colorado to get to this thriving, dynamic aerospace ecosystem where we are today.
Okay, so long haul, we're in for a long haul here. Long haul, okay. So a lot of what's needed, the human resources that need to become part of this effort. And, from what I see in talking to a lot of people, we really have a need to engage a demographic of younger people in this area. What kind of things can we do, the millennial and younger generation?
Yeah, well, we do have a tech-savvy workforce here in Colorado. We're one of the most highly educated workforces in the nation right here in Colorado. It tends to be a very tech-savvy, software-oriented economy. And I'll tell you, most of aerospace, or let's say a good share of aerospace in Colorado, is all about software. It's all about satellite control, ground control systems, simulation validation systems, the telecommunications, electronics part of it. It's all about that software. It needs to integrate these highly complex components into one system that is a robotic system that orbits the Earth. That's all a satellite is, and it's all controlled by software. And so we have, within the aerospace industry, a lot of talent already here with software, and already because of the highly dependent defense nature and the need for cyber, already developed here to support the human capital for this ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We still attract those people coming to Colorado that look at jobs, that look at tech-savvy jobs.
How much of that, though, is ex-military people? I mean, it seems like it's very heavily weighted in that area, especially in the aerospace.
There's a lot here that are ex-military in Colorado Springs, but in my viewpoint of statewide, especially where, the innovation hub in Colorado is the Boulder Corridor, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, although there's a defense presence, it's not a heavy defense presence necessarily in that northwest sector of Denver, where it's very tech savvy. Mm-hmm. And heavy software, with multiple software businesses expanding operations.
It seems like, and would you say maybe, to me it seems like we need a little steering from, solid military defense focus toward more of a, private sector, critical infrastructure. Do you see any way that the state or economic development can mold that, push it? We talked before our talk here about in Pueblo, the Riverwalk, and things that are infrastructure made for the city. I've heard people say maybe we should put a free Wi-Fi citywide for Colorado Springs to engage and bring in that younger dynamic generation. What are your thoughts?
Well, I do think you're right on in saying that you got a very heavy defense-oriented economy. That how do we transition it to a more private sector economy that grows through innovative practices in the commercial sector here and builds business through innovation and technology development? And that is a that's a tough issue when you're so heavily dependent on defense and defense industry here, the transition to commercial culture, private culture, industry, and to build that right ecosystem to develop private business. That's tough. And as you might know, the culture of how defense operates and their practices is different than necessarily than private business operates.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is not, as I'm learning, that's not an easy transition for a lot of businesses when they're so heavily defense dependent to transition into private sector developing.
Is there anything the state's doing to maybe push this or has thoughts in the direction of?
Well, the state does have, and this is federal grant money, through the Office of Economic Adjustment. These are federal dollars for economies that are so heavily defense dependent to help them adjust to more private and commercial business. So there are some efforts underway, and we are very ripe because of the talent, which is a byproduct of defense business here in Colorado Springs, to really take this another step in the cyber realm, in the cybersecurity environment, mm-hmm. and to build a business and practices here. And I see all the elements in this community. Again, I go back to talk about this community, that you do have a hungry community to develop private business here in Colorado Springs. So this is where I think, when back to your question on this National Cyber Intelligence Center initiative, it has all the potential to really to bring things together here. Mm-hmm. But it's people got to realize it's not going to happen overnight. We got to be in it for the long haul. And this is a multi-year effort to really develop this ecosystem.
Yeah. So when one of the things that also seems to be needed is kind of a venture capital, an investment community that, you know, maybe some say we have a little bit of it here, but definitely not like Silicon Valley. And if we want to have that kind of startup, you know, mentality, What is there anything that the state looks at for trying to entice that to develop?
Well, one is to market our business climate. And the business climate, like I mentioned, it's one is the political support that's aligned, both municipal, state, and federal. It's the trade associations that market the talent, the business base, the corporate tax rates, the labor rates, utility rates, which are all important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, just getting the story out to the general public, talking about how important this is to our economy and why it's important and what we can do to help grow our economy. And we're working with our university institutions that really train and develop the workforce for tomorrow, both at a degreed engineering level, and probably more important in cybersecurity is the apprenticeship level, the cyber certificate individual that's got some hands-on experience. And how do we work with our community college to better meet the needs of business through workforce development programs at community college level?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it sounds like that maybe we're looking for ideas, people to come in with.
We sure
are. These
yeah.
two type of topics on how do we, because that's the ultimate goal, is how do we engage the generations and the working generations,
right.
And how do we bring in the funding to match this kind of three-way, the need of growing
yeah.
an ecosystem.
And there are models to look at across the country, and how have other sectors and other regions, how they approach this, and how might we learn from them to develop.
Is there one in particular that you could say you're modeling?
I don't, you know, everybody talks Silicon Valley. I don't like to be compared to Silicon Valley and that environment. I like the North Carolina Triangle, I think is a better comparison of bringing together the research and development through the university system with a hungry workforce, with a heavy state and involvement into developing workforce and bringing business and the marketing efforts, working with trade associations or associations. I like the kind of model that's going on there in
mm-hmm.
that environment to how you really bring it together to be a catalyst for business development.
And it seemed like, I know we were talking before this session about some of the companies that are already here and just billions of dollars worth of facilities and capability and integrating them into this new direction. You know, what do you say about what can be done there?
Well, I'd say let's market it. Let's market it.
That's why we're here.
let's tell the potential, tell the story, tell them what's available here in Colorado. And, oh, by the way, a beautiful place to live.
Oh, yes.
And those mountains still do sell. Those mountains are attractive, especially to this millennial generation that tends to be outdoorsy and tends to look at coming to Colorado as a great place to live. And, oh, by the way, you can get a great job while you're here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, in closing here, anything that you want to either release, get out, ask for help with?
Colorado is a great business environment. We have some of the lowest tax rate, corporate tax rate in the nation. We have a large talent pool that's hungry for work. We are very innovative and tech-oriented social demographic, if you will. We have great universities supporting business. So bottom line message, come to Colorado, help us build Colorado. We're one of the fastest growing states as far as an economy in the nation. And welcome any business to come here, and let's do it.
And you definitely can't beat it, and I'll vouch for that.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Jay, for coming today, and definitely a wealth of information, and we're glad to have you on.
Glad to be a part of your podcast. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Yep.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.